5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. Joined across the glass over there is Angel. Great to have him on board this week. You've just done a fantastic job. And joining me in studio, just sticking around, Clark Johnson, the voice of Preps Radio. 13 days, 13 teams has been amazing, off the chain. You've done a fantastic job with that. What have you learned?
I appreciate that. I've learned a lot about different teams.
And who's the best team right now? Just not even
I'm not going to talk who's going to go win a title, but I am going to say, as far as teams that are on the move and teams and programs that are really moving up, and I've said this a bunch, Northridge. I would go Jeremy Hayden. They won 7 games for the first time in 12 years last year. They have everybody coming back, but it's a studly conference with Roosevelt in there, Severance, and Resurrection Christian coming over from the 2A ranks into 3A. How will they do? I think it's a really interesting conference, and I think Northridge is a team. That's the team I'm going to kind of look at this year. Of course, you've got Eaton. How about Eaton going for a three-peat in football and baseball in the same year?
It's
crazy.
The Eaton Reds fans are just spoiled rotten, man.
Wow.
I mean, they always win stuff. All the time. And they have NFL players. I mean, it's just crazy, dude.
It doesn't make any sense. For the size of the pool they're reaching from, it doesn't make any sense in the world that this school, except when you go to Steve Longwell, the AD, and put the figure out the staffs that he's had there.
Is it Steve Longwell? Is there some? Because I met this guy. He's a great guy. Is it him? Does he just know who to hire?
Yeah, he's made the right picks. I mean, look at it. Every single sport has, for the most part, had long-term coaches and great success. And they're one of those schools that the 8- and 9-year-olds, they're in touch with those kids growing up, club teams, every sport, you know, and it's those kids on Friday night or Saturday night or whenever the high school teams are playing, those stands are loaded with those kids going, boy, oh boy, can't wait for the day that I get to wear the pinstripes.
Well, and if you want to go back and listen to any of the podcasts from all of the preseason coverage for these teams, check it out at 1310kfk.com. Last one tonight, but this is more of like a scrimmage mix rather than you just sitting out and doing a 1-hour show. Going to see Severance tonight.
Yeah, we'll see Severance. I'm not sure what we get on the field.
Well, without Tanner Schwint coaching, being an assistant coach there, they're lost, man.
You know their quarterbacks are going to be better, right? Yeah, so that's a fact. Yeah, Jaden Hoffman, the quarterback for Severance. We'll find out what they get this year. Jeff Van Winkle's such a terrific coach. I mean, one of the best football coaches in the state. So we'll see that tonight. Casey Dawson University, who had a huge year last year, of course. First home game that they had in the playoffs in 37 years. They gave the 2-time defending champ Eaton Reds a run for their money both games last year. So this is a great scrimmage. I don't know what we get tonight, though. I don't know if I see numbers. I'm going to have a talk show going on with folks from not only...
You seem like that guy is fast.
Yeah. Hey, look at that guy go. He's got the football.
Man,
yeah.
He could be good. No. Don't know. Maybe he's JV.
Don't
possibly.
Know what year he is.
Well,
right.
I just love, Clark, I love what you've done with the prep scene on KFK. There's nothing like it in the state. I grew up in Eastern Colorado. Prep scene's big there.
Sure.
They always talk to me. They're like, man, we wish we had this kind of thing on our stations down here. It would kill you. The training camp coverage, the game coverage, the show, Clark and the coach. Nothing like that going on in the state. And I know Northern Colorado just appreciates so much having these coaches and players on a daily basis with Clark and the coach. But then these game broadcasts coming in, leading all up to that, it's really great what you've built there.
And we couldn't have done this without you. When you came here, when you took the job as GM here at KFK, it changed the direction of everything we do. And you saw the usefulness of having a great high school sports programming in here.
Just love it.
But and then you put that together with the lineup that we have this right now at KFKA, 8 hours of local programming. It's great every day.
Oh, man. And with Good Morning NoCo going 4 hours, Angel's keeping that thing on the – trying to keep that thing on the tracks, man.
That's
it's
a tough gig right
got
there.
Got a little out of hand today.
Every single – especially today. I don't know.
It was so much fun.
Something was in the studio or something.
It's Friday, I guess. We're cooling off a little bit. We're not in the 90s anymore. So that's been fantastic.
Sure has.
Clark, I brought you in. Obviously, we'll always want to talk the preps football scene. I want to go through that schedule, too, man. That is a dynamite schedule.
It's one of the best that we've put together, I think.
It's crazy. And we got the Canvas Clash.
Oh, can't wait for that.
What is it called?
It's the Canvas Community Clash.
Clash presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
That's right.
They're going to be doing some stuff out there. Two games for you. It'll be a doubleheader. We're trying to set up the day out there, so we'll kind of keep people involved of what we're doing. But you're kind of our Avalanche guy, too. You're our hockey guy. You're a diehard hockey fan.
I am. I've been, and I grew up in a place that really didn't have, I grew up in L.A., Southern California. Used to go watch Marcel Dion, Butch Goring, the Kings. The first time I ever went to a game, I said, that's the greatest sport in the history of mankind. 1977, Philadelphia Flyers coming in, Bobby Clark, Dave Schultz, the Broad Street Bullies come in, play the Kings, and I go. I sat about four seats from the ice on the blue line, and I said, this is the greatest sport of all time. And it's true. If you go in person, great. It's a tough TV sport, but now with everything that's going on in TV, it's way better.
Yeah.
But, hockey's my thing. There's no doubt.
You're a big hockey guy. So our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, how does the loss of Nazem Kadri impact the Avalanche's chances of going back-to-back Stanley Cup titles? Of course, Kadri signed a 7-year, $49 million deal with Calgary. So, I mean, we knew he was probably gone anyway, but the longer it went, I'll admit, I was wondering, okay, is he... He's not getting exactly what he wants money-wise. Does he come back, take a discount with the Avs, and say, 2% of me was thinking maybe that could still happen. Obviously, that's now shot out the door. Does this severely impact their chances of going back-to-back here?
It's the deepest team in the league, so severely, no. Does it impact it? Yes. Kadri's one of the best offensive forwards in the league. There's no doubt about it. I think the issue here was... The main issue is you got to sign Nate McKinnon.
Yeah.
He's going to be a free agent next year.
Yeah.
And so that money is it came down to pretty much, do you keep Kadri or do you keep the choo-choo train? Do you keep Valerie Nichushkin? And Nichushkin younger, and my goodness gracious, he just grew up in the playoffs. I mean, the kid was unbelievable. So,
and that's the good thing, I suppose, with the Avs. Like you said, they're so deep that, you know, there's probably two guys on that roster that you would be very sick about losing.
Right.
But the rest, you did say, okay, this is a deep enough team where they should be able to bounce back. So with Kadri being gone, it's a big hit. He was a superstar in this playoffs,
sure.
too. I mean,
absolutely.
He was right there in the running to be the guy, but, obviously you had some really good players throughout the stretch. So you're saying, okay, it impacts it, but I'm not counting the Avs out as far as going back to back.
They're still the favorite. They're going to be, they're right now, if you look at the betting odds, they're a prohibitive favorite. I think they're a little under 5-1, and the next team's 8 or 9-1. So, Avalanche, no doubt. If any other team in the league lost a guy like Kadri, I'd say, man, crucial hit. But for the Avs, as I said, they're just so deep. I've never seen a team with this many players in the top four lines. So it should be good. And then we get to talk about Georgiev, the new goaltender coming over. So what does that look like? We'll find out.
Yeah, with losing, kind of a chance, I guess you could say, with the Avs saying, all right, we're fine where we are. We're going to move on from Darcy Kuemper.
Sure, sure.
Some Avs fans hated that, but let's face it, he was average. I mean,
he didn't win the title.
No. And again, I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world, but from what I saw, my little brain gathered is their defense was fantastic. They kept those opportunities at bay as far as shots on goal, and that really helped Darcy Kuemper in this process.
You brought up the perfect point, and this is what I think the Avs saw with Georgiev playing behind Shesterkin with the Rangers at New York. Shesterkin, Vezina Cup winner, best goaltender in the I want to go to Vasilevsky for probably best goaltender in the league, but Shesterkin right there, and they started off the year kind of on even terms, and it was Georgiev at the beginning.
So that he was, they kind of thought he was going to be the guy,
and then Shesterkin passes him and has a great year, and Georgiev sits with his talent kind of behind the guy that's getting all the ink. So New York had the option to let him go, kind of like the Avs did when they got Varlamov. Varlamov had sat behind his guy for a while and came in as the kind of unknown. This is what the Avs are hoping here, and we'll see exactly what what that looks like coming up. But my guess is this is the way Joe Sakic does things. He's probably picked another winner.
Well, and what's interesting to me, I got to put it in terms I can understand here, and you'll appreciate this comparison. It's kind of like the Drew Brees Philip Rivers situation for Georgiev.
Yep.
You drafted Philip Rivers. Drew Brees was really good.
Absolutely.
He wasn't as good as he became when he was with the Saints, but he was really good. But you liked what you saw in Philip Rivers, mm-hmm. and of course, Rivers went on to do great things. It happens a lot of the times. We see this with quarterbacks, too. So the hope is that you got this guy for a steal. You didn't have to go out and give big-time money for a goalkeeper on this. You're paying about what you would maybe pay a Kemper, but you're kind of there's a gamble here, but you're right. Joe Sakic has been so good at building this team.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Varley, you talk about Varley, we kind of thought he was the guy for a moment, and then he fizzled and then goes away, and they're able to recharge and then obviously win a Stanley Cup by piecing the goalkeeping together, essentially.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I love what the Avs did. The offense is, I mean, you could live on this offense for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
It's the defense that we need to keep an eye on, and I love the defensive pairings now. You got Cale Makar, who is the guy.
Yes.
You put him with Taves, who was Devon Taves was the most underrated defensive player in the league, plus minus best player in the league. You get Manson and Girard and Sammy Girard as the second combination there. And I love this because Girard's a little dude. He gets pounded. So you get Manson over there. He's a beast. He's going to take care of his guy. So Girard can headman the puck. He can do what he needs to do. And Manson is there to clean people's clocks. That's just good stuff. And then Bo Byram and EJ on the back end. This is what the Avs need. If the Avs can play great defense in front of Georgiev next year, it's all systems go to another cup.
What I thought was so interesting about the storyline with the Avs, too, I mean, we always talk about it. You know, if you get a hot goalie in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Yep.
The Avs never had a hot goalie.
Yep.
And again, they didn't even have a consistent goalie. Frankie was in the mix, too. Kemper was in the mix. Injuries, things like that were coming up. And, you know, Kemper would have a terrible game. And our next poll question was, should they pull him out? So you didn't get a hot goalie. So that kind of went against a lot of what we've talked about. So I'm trying to learn hockey. That's all I hear, Clark, is you got to get a hot goalie. That was not the case for the Avs, so I'm thinking, man, I knew I didn't know anything. Now I really don't know anything.
You're on the right mark, and this year was an outlier. You had the best offensive team probably in the history of the game, and I'm talking about Gretzky and Curry and Messier over in Edmonton. I'm talking about the guys out in Philadelphia. I'm talking about the Islanders when they had Trottier and Messier over there, and Clark Gillies and Bobby Nystrom. So many great offensive hockey teams in the history of the game. I'm saying the Avalanche offense last year, probably the deepest, most talented offensive set of players I've ever seen.
Was this the best Stanley Cup team? The Avs have had three of these
now. It's close. It might get better.
It could get better. I mean, if Georgiev, which we're all getting his name now, so that's exciting.
Yep.
If he can turn out to be pretty good, then you upgrade at your goalkeeper spot. I mean, imagine this team with... You know, what would you say Kemper was? A C-type goalie if you're giving him a grade?
Yeah, give him a B-minus.
So if you can get Georgiev that's a B-plus,
sure.
Or dare we even say A-minus, then this team just got better.
Yeah, I'm not sure that just a B goalie doesn't get it done for the Avs.
Probably. It's
a ridiculous team. The 18 players that take the ice every night, it's a crazy, crazy group.
Where will Kadri go, like, in terms of when we talk about Avalanche legends, right? I mean, Joe Sakic obviously just continues to grow his legend.
Sure.
Patrick Waugh is one of those guys. Peter Forsberg, Adam Foote, all these fantastic Avs players. Rob Blake. Then you throw Kadri in, who's been solid, but he wasn't with the Avs that long.
Sure.
But he made such a huge... You do it in the playoffs, and you do it at that high level.
Sure.
Especially with some of the drama that was going around, some of the bad... What was it? The St. Louis fans coming at him pretty hard. You had some racist stuff going on there. He overcame all of that. He was fantastic. Is his name... I mean, again, he's not our Mount Rushmore.
He's not Sakic, Forsberg, Waugh. He's not that...
But is he one of those memorable guys where you go, that's...
He will forever live in Colorado Avalanche history and lore.
He'll be one of the. Remember Claude Lemieux when he was here? Yeah. Everybody hated Claude, hated him around the league. But of course, when he comes to your team,
you loved him.
Oh, you love him.
Yeah.
That's the Kadri situation. You know, he's an instigator. He's a yip, yip, yipper in your ear the whole time. He's a guy that has had his share of questionable hits in the NHL.
Even.
Absolutely. He plays for your team. You love him. And I love this is that the Avs fans, by the end of the year, the Avs parade and stuff, who got some of the biggest cheers?
Oh, it was
Nassim Kadri.
He was probably like, again, you have so many studs on this team. Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, those are your guys, but there is, I mean, it's like the Nuggets, Bones Highland. He's not the two-time MVP, but he's a fan favorite. People love him. Kadri is the fan favorite. Yep. And again, everything that he did, when you do it at the highest of levels in the playoffs, that changes things. Von Miller didn't become a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame until he had that monster run in the playoffs against the Patriots, against the Panthers and that thing. That's what made him a legend. So he will be kind of a legendary player.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he'll be going to Calgary. That's the only thing I don't like about this is Calgary is a that's a team the Avs have to deal with a bunch.
Yeah.
So, boy, he's right there in their neck of the woods. So it should be interesting.
So I asked you, I had you on last time when the goalie situation came about and they decided to move on from Kemper. Did the Avs get better or worse? And you said you thought the Avs got better.
Yep.
You still feel that way today, that this is a better, perhaps a better team than it was last year?
As long as Super Joe is leading the way, why am I going to knock that?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just fabulous. I think his knowledge and pulling the trigger on stuff is just fantastic. So we had Pierre Lacroix in the 96 to 2001 range. Thought he was a fantastic GM. And how often do you see players jump in, ex-players jump into those roles in the front office and they don't quite get it done? Joe Sakic is killing it right now.
I mean, even as a coach, as a GM, you know, you saw Patrick Waugh, and we were real, man, that was like the perfect pairing, wasn't it? Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh. I mean, this was an Avalanche fan's dream to see that.
Sure.
And then it was such a strange ending, and Waugh leaves in August. He just doesn't see eye to eye with Joe anymore. And then they have to go find a guy that's never coached in the NHL before, and he was terrible his first year, and next thing you know, they were building, and becoming a consistent playoff team.
Next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. That's right. I mean, Jared Bednar comes in, and I said, who? Who's that? What?
And now he's a household name.
Yep. I'm sure his bank account looks good right now.
Oh, I think it's right. Yeah, and he's a likable guy, too, so that really helped. But remember,
really
this,
low key, too.
I thought it was crazy because we were talking about the Avs getting past the second round and saying, if they can't do this, are we moving on from Bednar? Is it time? Is he on the hot seat? A lot of Avs fans said, yes, he's definitely on the hot seat. And not only do they move past the second round, they do what they do. And now you're talking about him being, you know, right now he's etched his name right in as far as great Avalanches.
But maybe if you think about it, too, and people say, oh, he had the, look at the staff, he got given the golden goose. You've got to, in Major League sports, when you have that much talent, that deep, sometimes keeping guys happy with playing time and everything that goes into it, that's a big key. You've got to have a coach that knows how to get it done.
I think still, what was it? Was it games? Well, it was one of those late games in the finals, and he decides to stay with Kemper.
Sure,
and
sure.
There was a lot of debate about should you take Kemper out, should you put Frankie in, and he stood his ground, and that was a defining moment for him, deciding to stay there. And that's a tough coaching decision you have to make, and he made the right one, it turned out.
Yeah, great decision. So for right now, that coaching staff, Joe Sakic at the head of this incredible team, that's going to stay this way for a while.
Clark, you want to stick with us while we do the good, the bad,
sure,
the ugly here?
I love this.
Let's hit it. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me is this guy doesn't even have to play, and he's probably going to win a starting quarterback job. Drew Lock gets COVID. He doesn't play. He was supposed to start last night against Chicago. Seattle loses 27-11. Nothing on that. Okay. Geno Smith was pretty rough. He was 10 of 18, 112 yards. His rating was 74. He tripped over nothing, fell down, killed the play. And if you're Drew Lock, I mean, Carroll was upset. He was obviously upset about this situation. So, Drew Locke made progress to start
by not playing.
And I'm not, you know, I take COVID seriously and all that, but if I'm Drew Locke, I'm going into that locker room today and I'm licking Geno Smith's locker. I'm rubbing all over it. I'm coughing. And then I'm giving him COVID so he has that chance. I'm still very curious to see what Seattle does. Yes, that's the good. It's Drew Locke. The bad, of course, Clark and I digested it a bit. Nazem Kadri is left. He signed a 7-year deal, $49 million with Calgary. So he's gone. A fan favorite for sure, but my guy Clark's saying, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. And Joe, we trust. As for the ugly, the Rockies lose 13-0. Albert Pujols launched a big-time grand slam in this. Drove in 5 runs. He was sensational. And this thing got ugly.
Albert hits it out to deep left. It is gone! It's a grand slam! 690!
I mean, wow. That was insane. Even Jerry Schimmel's like, I'm just glad I got to be a part of that situation. It was 13-0. Hope you took the overs in that because it changed throughout the game, of course. 13-0, St. Louis beats the Rockies. 51-69 now, and that's it. 25 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Clark, my man, love listening to you. Love what you're putting together. This season's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. I mean, I loved the training camp coverage, but I'm ready for some game coverage.
Yeah, it's like the kids after they've been hitting their own teammates for 3 weeks. Let's go hit somebody else right now.
Football is back. I'm excited. So what time do you get rolling tonight?
Tonight we'll be on right at 7 o'clock. We'll have basically for an hour and a half, 2 hours, we'll be talking to a bunch of coaches, and we won't get players tonight because they'll be scrimmaging, but coaches from the Severance staff. We'll get Cora Lanter, the AD, on again. We're going to have folks from the town of Severance. It's Severance Day. It's a big thing. Don't forget tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Do you know where they're having the
somewhere Buffalo? Severance?
Is it at Bruce's?
Or no, it's outside. No, it part is. Of their okay. their festival that they're doing.
The all you can sounds eat, really fun. All you can eat. You know what? Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Rocky Mountain Oyster Challenge. Are you going out there?
I'm
going
to be there. Yeah.
I'm going to try to stop by. All right, Clark. Thanks, man. Always appreciate you, dude.
Yep, appreciate it.
26 minutes after 11 o'clock, we're going to take a short break. Yes, the Drew Locke thing is very much alive. You guys, Broncos country, don't like to hear about it, but it's true. We're also going to have Joel Cantalamessa, who heads up Ram Nation, and I was at a wonderful event last night where Joe Parker spoke to diehard fans. Love that kind of stuff, so we'll digest that as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown, hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.